Hello, listeners. This is Strong Tower Radio, Changing Lives, a new program that we're pleased to produce. During this time, we interview Strong Tower listeners whose lives have been and continue to be changed through this radio broadcast. I'm your host, Cam Ferguson, along with John Duman as audio engineer. And with me today is John Partridge. John, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your testimony and being with us here today. If you would give us a brief overview of your faith background prior to listening to Strong Tower Radio.
Sure, absolutely. Growing up, my mother had put me and my brothers into a Church of God, Assembly of God church. It was a Pentecostal church, so we had been going there. We bussed over from my house in Cadillac, and me and my brothers did that for a while, and before I knew it, I was the only one being bussed over. And so I was going to church for a while by myself at that Pentecostal church. I went there for quite a while, part of the Royal Rangers and some different activities that they did over there for the youth that was part of that church. Kind of fell away from the church as I got older. Started going through school and was into the Boy Scouts and some other things. Once I got married, I started going to church with my wife at a Methodist church. And after the Methodist church, we had kind of experimented with a few other churches, too. So we'd went to the Resurrection Life Church in Cadillac here. We had participated in Wesleyan services also. So I've participated in quite a few different denominational services throughout the course of my years. So
it sounds like you were looking for something and weren't really finding it.
It's probably a really good way to put it. Definitely looking, and, you know, I'd read the Bible through many times, and I guess as I started to listen to Strong Tower Radio and others, I started to hear truth, you know, things I recognized from the Bible to be true, and I certainly appreciated that.
So how did you discover Strong Tower Radio? Did someone recommend it, or?
No, I was actually surfing through the radio. I like talk radio, so I was, you know, looking for that, and I like Christian radio. I didn't mind the music, but I was hoping for a little, I don't mind listening to sermons and stuff like that. I kind of enjoy it, so I was looking for that on the radio when I stumbled across 91.9, and
it was a gold mine.
There was a gold mine, quite frankly, and there's a lot of talk radio there. So
praise the Lord,
a lot of good things going on.
Yeah, we believe that's one of the key elements. There's strong food, solid food on the air every day.
It really was, you know, and I certainly appreciated that.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, what was your initial impression and response to what you heard?
There's a lot to take in, you know, just a lot of new learning and a lot of things that I'd listened to and opened my eyes. I'd started listening to the Hope Channel a little bit on TV.
Okay, yeah.
Caught some David Asherick, and from there I was on YouTube listening to David Asherick videos and watched a Discover Prophecy series that I had seen. And then I had also heard David on Strong Tower Radio at one point, so was interested in him. And he's quite a character and has quite a nice sermon series that he puts on for Discover Prophecy. So it really, it led me down a rabbit hole that led me to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and which is where I'm at today and now a member of. So,
oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So when did things begin changing in your life as you listened to Strong Tower Radio?
I would say pretty much immediately. I mean, as far as, you know, starting to pay more attention to my Bible, you know, I don't think it changed immediately. I still, you know, a lot of struggles in my life. You know, I was still, me and my wife still struggled at home. I had, you know, a lot to do with jobs. I was working three jobs. So life didn't change immediately for me. It was a lot of listening and learning at those points. So,
yeah. And that's what we find with almost every person who tunes into Strong Tower Radio. There's listening. There's, wow, I never heard that before. There's digesting.
Absolutely.
And searching. Yeah. And seeing if these things are so. And did you hear anything on Strong Tower Radio that really challenged you or made you dig into the Bible to see, is this really what the Bible says?
There's quite a bit. I mean, as you're going through and looking, learning new doctrine about just so many different the subject of hell and that doctrine, or, you know, certainly the prophecy piece of that, where there's so much digging you have to do to really fully understand, you know, what the Bible's trying to tell you. Because, you know, I got a phone full of Bible apps that I go through and was, you know, digging around and looking at some of the same, looking at concordances and things that I had never looked at before. you know, and really digging into the word and what the word said, you know, and just taking it at face value, I guess. Hmm. You know, it's easy to read the book cover to cover, a little harder to go through and dig and really find true meaning in what all that is trying to tell you.
So, and tying different things together, different verses to find what something really means.
Yeah. And then also tying that with the Holy Spirit and trying to listen to what that, the way that's trying to steer me.
That's so, right, because we won't understand anything in the Bible without the Holy Spirit.
And significantly different. You know, my my experience after listening to Strong Tower Radio and some of the sermons I've heard led me to dig and learn more and study harder than I had ever studied before. So definitely good direction.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned what happens when someone dies and the prophecies. Were the prophecy series that you listened to, it was markedly different than anything you'd heard before, wasn't it?
Truly was. You know, and I had sat and listened to that, and it was eye-opening. It was just new. It was different. It was something I hadn't heard before, and it was the Bible coming alive, you know, in a way that I'd never heard it before. Listening to that and really digging into that, it led me to some new things and some new ways of thinking about the Bible I hadn't thought about before. And on top of that, as I was listening to David Ashrick, he had not even mentioned that he was Seventh-day Adventist until about, I think, about 12 videos into the series that I was watching and listening to, when I was like, oh, he's an Adventist. And I was like, oh, that's something new. And that's where I started thinking more about Adventism at that point.
So that piqued your interest in finding out more about what the Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches?
I mean, that was, I remember that being the first time I had heard that that was a Seventh-day Adventist message I had been listening to.
The remarkable thing to me is the historical interpretive method of Bible prophecy used to be very common across all Protestant lines.
Sure.
And now it's like almost every other group has abandoned it in favor of mostly futurism and a few preterism, where it's either everything's happened in the past or it's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
And that, as you said, it's markedly different than what you had heard.
Well, and the history was, I've always been a student of history, and it was very intriguing to go through and read the Great Controversy for the first time. I've read it a couple times now, and I've enjoyed that and learning about the history and certainly all the challenges all our predecessors have had trying to spread the gospel. It was eye-opening, to say the least, and certainly moving for me personally.
Yes, the Great Controversy particularly gives history through a different lens, and it brings out so many things that we never learned in the history books.
Right, for sure.
And it isn't that it tells a different history. It simply brings out the history and points out, you didn't see this, and you didn't see this, and here's how this not only affected there, but how it has impact today.
Certainly a different perspective, and I think for me it was a perspective I hadn't heard before or even thought about. You know, we don't often think of history in terms of the religious history in the way that, you know, we know what we've seen in school. At least for me, I went to a public school, so you're indoctrinated into the way of thinking of the rest of the secular world, if you will.
Right, and yet history has shown that civil governments in the past have been controlled by religious bodies, and it never turns out well for the citizens.
Very true.
Yep. And so we want to be vigilant that we don't sit idly by. At some point in the future, that will happen in these United States. And that's brought out in the Great Controversy. It's brought out in Revelation 13 and Daniel 7. And even now, many say, can't happen. But we're seeing the mindset develop now that makes that very possible. And it will happen because the Bible is never wrong.
So true. Yeah. And that has led me a lot of Bible truth, and you know, listening to, you know, I've done a lot of Bible study, and you know, as I dig into those studies, you know, and just on a variety of topics, has given me, you know, reassurance that the Bible is true more than anything. And I think that was one of the biggest things with the initial learning of the Bible prophecy. You know, it's just that the Bible can be trusted, and I hadn't trusted it fully up to that point. You know, I trusted more like science and thinking that, you know, the Bible had some correlation between science and what I was reading in the Bible, and there was some interpretation that I was missing, you know, and looking at it from a historical point of view, it changed my opinion significantly, where I could trust the Bible immensely.
Mm, praise the Lord.
And fully.
So are you saying that up to that time, you had taken somewhat of a mixed inspiration view of the Bible, that some parts were inspired and some parts were not?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of people do that today in the secular world, don't fully embrace the Bible and everything it teaches. And it's easy to go through and make comparisons and that kind of stuff to, you know, what you see in the secular world or science. So.
Or microanalyze it. And
yeah,
sadly, you mentioned secular has that view, but sadly, many theologians also take the perspective that not all of the Bible is inspired. And the Bible itself says otherwise.
Sure.
So it's one of those all or nothing experiences. Either the Bible is all inspired, all trustworthy, as it says, or it's nothing.
Right.
Just like Jesus is either the Son of God incarnate, or he is an amazing liar. And from all the evidence I've seen, he's the real thing. No lies at all.
Agreed.
He is the one in whom we have our hope that will never disappoint.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, listeners, you've been listening to John Partridge and his testimony and how Strong Tower Radio was instrumental in drawing him closer to Jesus Christ. And we'll now go to a break and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi folks, Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Cam Ferguson. Here with me is John Partridge. And John, you were just sharing with us how you'd had some challenges with prophecy, and you had to really dig in and see that this is really what the Bible says. And were there any other areas that you had to really dig in, and they were very different from your experience previously?
Yeah, certainly Sabbath keeping has been one of the bigger challenges. I've been keeping the seventh-day Sabbath now for about a year and a half, and that has been one of the biggest challenges to go through and learn how to keep the Sabbath and how to use a preparation day to go through and make sure I'm ready for the Sabbath so I don't totally upset my household and make sure that I can maintain steady rest on the Sabbath day and doing that on Saturday.
So before your worship experience had been mainly going to church on Sunday morning, about noonish, you would get off the out of church, and then was the rest of the day for whatever you wanted to do?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Sunday was, you know, football day, so we went through and watched football on Sunday. We'd, you know, would go to the store if we wanted to go to the store, and we really didn't pay attention to what the Bible said about the Sabbath day, you know, and really as I start to dig into what it actually says and did Bible studies and things like that specifically on the Sabbath really led me to rethink what I was doing on the Sabbath day to the point where I was resting and trying to honor God in everything I do on that day specifically.
Amen. Did the Bible's definition of a day really intrigue you? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, looking at the all the changes that were made of the from the Sabbath day from the Romans up through today, and just even the fact that most people don't even know that the Sabbath day is truly Saturday, you know, and that you could ask 61 million Jews what day the Sabbath is, and they could tell you it's Saturday. So that was not something that had come across my plate until, you know, I had discovered Adventism.
Which is remarkable given that what the Ten Commandments talk about and are very specific.
Especially the fourth one.
Correct. Yeah. And yet even some versions just truncate that commandment to one sentence or two.
You know, it's easy to keep a lot of the commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, you know, and lots of them that you can just go through and easily keep. But the Sabbath is one that you have to pay attention to and makes it difficult to honor, you know. Especially considering I hadn't honored it for 53 years. So,
well, I've found, too, that when you look at the Ten Commandments, the other nine, they're all, like you say, they're pretty sensible. They make sense.
Yeah.
And you look at the fourth commandment, and you go, But when you dig into it, it's actually the commandment that identifies why the other nine matter.
It's true.
Yeah. And it gives, it takes us back to creation and it establishes a 7-day week based on 24-hour periods. Because if God's going to tell us, remember the seventh day to keep it holy.
He must have meant it for a reason.
He not only meant it for a reason, but if we are looking back, and many theologians say that creation days were long periods, there's no way God can tell you and I to keep the seventh-day Sabbath if it's not a 24-hour period, because he's basing it on, I created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. It would make absolutely no sense if he told you and I to honor that day if it was not a 24-hour period in which he did all that work in six of those 24-hour periods and rested on the seventh.
Right.
And so that commandment is such a pivotal point on so many aspects of God himself and who we are and how we relate to him. It's just so amazing.
I still remember, you know, being a Christian and other denominations and thinking, you know, I'm a good Christian. I follow the Ten Commandments. I do all that. And in really digging into the Ten Commandments and the Bible and the studies on that, I realized that I really wasn't keeping that well. You know, the Bible's pretty clear on what it means to go through and keep the Saturday Sabbath, you know, not working, not making other people work, and resting on that day and honoring God and developing a relationship with him on that day.
That's key, because none of us can actually keep the Ten Commandments in our own strength at all.
Right.
And there are some who say, well, commandment keeping is legalism. It's like, well, you can try to go down that road, but the legalist will fail because Jesus says, many will say, did we not do all these wonderful things in your name? Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm sorry, I don't know you. And there's the key, knowing Jesus, knowing God the Father, knowing
having
the Holy Spirit, having that connection, which then enables us, it strengthens us, gives us the power to obey. And I was just reading in Psalms 111, and it says that God enlightens those who keep his commandments and gives them understanding. And it struck me, and I've read this psalm dozens of times before, but just this week, I thought, wow, following God, i.e. obeying God, increases my understanding. It makes me more intelligent than I was before. I never had thought of that before. It was just this profound aha moment in the scriptures, and I love that because there's no exhausting the Word of God.
That's true.
Now, are there any other areas that you really wrestled with in your study of the Bible and you're getting to know what Seventh-day Adventists believe and teach and what's on Strong Tower Radio?
You know, there's certainly a subject I continue to struggle with. You know, Ellen G. White and her prophecies and her being a prophet of God is always been a debate. It's a hot topic if you're on the internet and talking to other people. As you go through and look at her readings, though, her readings are very plain, and they magnify God, they magnify Christ, and they magnify everything that the Bible's about. And then reading the Great Controversy is really the only one I've really dug into deeply a couple times to say I know it fairly well now. I can say that it doesn't amplify in any way, shape, or form her. You know, she doesn't go through and talk about her. It's all about God and about Jesus and about the history that led up to where we are today. So But that has been a struggle, you know, going through and really, I guess, buy in to that initially, you know.
Well, in her own writings, she says, test, see what the how these align with Scripture. And anyone who claims to be a messenger of God, which she does, she doesn't say I'm a prophet. She says I'm a messenger of God. Right. Well, that's what the prophets were. And in 1 John 4:1, we're told, try the spirits, for there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. So when someone claims to be a messenger of God, we are told, test their writings.
Sure.
And I can tell you, I have not read all of the writings of Ellen White yet, because it's a big library.
That's a lot, yes.
But everything I've tested has proven to align with Scripture.
Yeah.
And I have utmost confidence in her as a prophet because her messages align with Scripture.
Right.
And it's so refreshing. And I remember one time I thought, well, if all her writings just point back to Scripture, well, why do I need her writings?
You know, there's just a lot of naysayers, Cam. And I guess
there are.
From my point of view, and even talking with, you know, people that are close to me, you know, their opinion of Ellen G. White is significantly different. It's kind of guided and steered by what they've seen on the internet and what they've heard from other pastors. You know, she's bumped her head, or that she's a messenger of Satan or whatever. But in reading her texts, I've found nothing to be further from truth, that she's right in line with what I believed in God and just had expounded on that really well. So.
That's why we're told to have an experience of our own,
sure.
To try the spirits, to test the writings, to see. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If we don't have a personal experience, what can we do? What can we say? God did not waste his time speaking through the prophets that are recorded in the Scripture, and everything I've read of Ellen White's is a blessing to me, and it points me back to the Word of God and deepens my hunger to understand the Word of God. So we're very pleased on Strong Tower Radio to broadcast readings of various books that Ellen White has written. And
sure.
We get feedback frequently of people, some who've never heard her writings before, and like, wow, that was such a blessing. That was just what I needed today.
Yeah. No, I really appreciated the writings and readings that I've done. Is they've really expanded my knowledge and really touched my heart in a lot of cases, you know. Reading on the Waldensians and just the sacrifice they had made to push the gospel through, or the sacrifice that Martin Luther made. And I hadn't heard those stories before, and they are enriching, and they just enrich my life. So the history came alive,
It's
just really knowing what the Middle Ages are all about, you know.
We're continuing to finish the Reformation is what I take from that.
Yeah, agreed.
At the 30,000-foot view, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
And so Strong Tower Radio is a part of that experience. So, John, was there a pivotal experience or message that impacted your decision to go forward with baptism?
Yeah, I'd been doing a Bible study with Pastor Bob Benson, and we had been studying for a while. One of the studies we did was on baptism, and it really made clear in the Bible what baptism looked like. And I had realized that, well, what I had did or what happened to me when I was a baby wasn't really a baptism, more of an anointing or a christening, or I don't know what you want to call it, but it really wasn't a decision I made to go through and be fully baptized. So in doing that study with Bob, we went through and looked at a lot of the different scriptures and texts in the Bible that talked about that. And it was an easy decision after that to go through and say, I wanted to be baptized just like Jesus Christ was in Jordan.
Amen. Yeah. Following Jesus' example in every
line.
It's a
great example, yeah.
Amen. So how does Strong Tower Radio continue to bless you in your walk with the Lord?
It's always pointing me back where it just keeps me in check, I guess. It's on my radio daily. I put it on my wife's radio, even though she might change it once in a while. But it's certainly all the programming I like. I found that I initially wasn't used to the music that was on there, but I've grown accustomed to it, and I like it now. So I found music that I enjoy, just a different genre that I hadn't heard in my walk. So
Tastes change, and that's one of the ways.
For sure. For sure. You know, I certainly enjoy them. Yeah.
Do any of the programs in particular stand out to you as ones that you really enjoy and have blessed you?
Yeah. Pastor Doug Batchelor and Bible Answers Live is exceptional. You know, and I can listen repeat after repeat of those stories that, or questions that people ask, and it's always good. So
it's a listener favorite. And
undoubtedly.
Similar questions come up, and I've never heard him answer the same question exactly the same way. And he'll plumb something that, I didn't hear him say that before. That's perhaps something I hadn't thought of before. And so, I find it to be a blessing as well. Yeah. Were there any others?
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to say, but your story out where every morning on the way to work. So.
Adults love your
stories. Hour. Yeah, absolutely. So they're good, and I always enjoy them. Sometimes they bring a tear to my eye. Sometimes I'm laughing. So they're always a blessing to me in the morning. Yeah.
I've had some similar experiences to what you've just described.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So no embarrassment needed.
Good.
Now, as we wrap up this program, and thank you for being here, is there anyone that who's experienced your journey or helped you along the way? You mentioned Bob Benson. I think
Bob
he was instrumental.
Very instrumental, and certainly I would look at Bob as being my mentor and certainly the one person that's really guided me and taught me things that I didn't know. You know, we spent a lot of time together worshiping and teaching at least once a week for about a year and a half. So, Bob would be the one person that, you know, really guided me and led me.
Praise the Lord.
And I appreciate his leadership.
Yeah, we miss him around here, too. Yeah. He's accepted a calling to another district not too far away.
No, not
but
at all.
We don't get to see him as frequently as we used to.
And no, I still talk with Bob often.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's good to have those mentors and friends that really help walk with us along the way and point us to Jesus. Well, John, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
And it's been a pleasure also.
Thank you for sharing your testimony. And well, listeners, before we close out today, we'd like to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the work that you are doing in John Partridge's life, in the life of his family. We thank you for the work you're doing in each one of us. And Father, there's surely at least one, if not many, listeners who can identify and are identifying with some of what they've heard John share. Father, I pray for your special outpouring of your Holy Spirit to each listener to draw them to you. Say, this is the way of life. Walk therein. We thank you and ask for your continued and special blessing and guidance in John's life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Listeners, we're glad to have you along as well, and may you have a wonderful day and receive a great blessing from hearing John Partridge share his testimony of how Strong Tower Radio has drawn him to Jesus Christ and a closer walk. God bless you. Goodbye for now.